This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
At six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, hi, hello, everyone. Welcome to ENN, which, by the way, it's a very, very special episode of ENN. You know why, Don?
Why is that?
Because, of course, it's brought to you by our dearest of friends at DoorDash. Deliver by DoorDash. Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it free for 30 days. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
He didn't have that in his book!
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I'm good on Bill.
I'd like to say good evening to Michael again.
You have on a poop brown shirt.
And I'd like to say good evening to Freddie Kiki.
It's Kiki time.
And woo! To Fred.
Kiki.
What was that?
Time for kittens to eat.
All right. Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't start with the New York Giants. But Michael, in other words, were you fascinated, Michael, by the part in the is it? Do you think it's a giveaway? Do you think I'm ruining the movie, the King Richard movie, if you mention the scene in which Richard brings Venus and Serena to meet their eventual coach?
You mean the guy Macri or the other one?
When they go to meet him and the two legendary players are also there?
No, you're not killing it, no.
So there's a scene. You saw this, Michael, you watched the movie, and there's a scene where, Don, I thought this was fascinating. Richard Williams brings the kids to try to get a coach, and when he walks in on the coach is having a session with John McEnroe and Pete Sampras.
Okay.
So essentially there's like an 8-year-old Venus, a 6-year-old Serena, and two of the greatest players of all time. Mm. And my head exploded that this moment ever happened. But Michael, I looked it up earlier. It's not exactly what happened.
Oh, no.
Well, it's based on a true story. I think there's a lot of license.
Poetic license?
Yeah, in the whole
movie. So, by the way, do you have any problem with this? So what really happened was they were not there that day, but after he started coaching the Williams, there was another day when Sampras and Mac came to hit with them. So that did happen. It just wasn't that day.
Right.
But
did
I'm always
like the movie or not?
I haven't finished. I had to start watching the football vehicle. I watched the first 45 minutes. I'd already cried once. I thought it was terrific so far.
I've got another movie that you'll love.
Go ahead.
Red Notice.
I already watched it.
Really good. I wasn't expecting much, but it was good.
I mean, it's stupid, but it's great. Like,
yeah, it's really entertaining.
Like, if it's Thanksgiving and you're sitting around with the family and it's
watch
a wide
it.
Range of people.
Watch it.
Great movie to throw on.
Yeah. Good action movie.
Ryan Reynolds is very funny.
He's really good.
Yeah, he really is terrific.
You know what?
He's the Deadpool guy, right?
Yes.
That's right.
He's hilarious in that.
Should we dig up our interview with him from Super Bowl Radio Row for our best of?
That's a very good point.
Well, that was many years ago. This is the best of 2021.
We were in San Francisco, I remember, for that. And
I actually went to that game. That's the one where I went to the game and I was sitting next to Jeremy Piven, didn't say a word to him.
Why? Didn't like him, right?
Because he was nasty on center stage. So
oh, yeah.
He's very impressed with himself and I didn't want to further impress him.
Yeah, no, he's got lots of nozzle. Let's hear from Dan Graziano, who was on with Greeny earlier, talking about the Giants situation.
They don't want to be the team that changes coaches every 2 years. And that would be the case for the third time in a row if they moved on from the head coach. I know they like him. I know they believe in him. They like and believe in Dave Gettleman, the GM, as well. But you get to a point where the draft record is what it is, and it doesn't seem to be very good.
Why do they like and believe in Dave Gettleman? Well, I don't get that, Don. What do they like and believe? I mean, maybe they like him as a person. That's cool. He might be a great guy, but what has he done that would make you like and believe him? You use the second pick in the draft on a running back where you could have had your future quarterback after that. Look at the quarterbacks that were taken after Barkley was taken. And then you used the 6th pick in the draft when you had the 17th pick, and everybody in the world thought that Daniel Jones would have fallen to the 17th pick.
I don't think there is any reason to love anybody on this team, honestly, really. What is there about this 3-7 team that you could say is working, clicking, has got a bright future, anything? Everything is at least in doubt. Your two most important players on offense, there's doubt. With Jones, with Barkley, those are both Gettleman picks. All right, Love's playing on defense, and Will Hernandez is starting on the offensive line. So that's a credit that his picks are playing, but are they playing well?
They're 18-40
yeah,
since he became GM. And so what do you like about him? You know, his accent?
I think they genuinely like him as a person. They probably feel like, you know, he did his job when he came here to try to get another ring for Eli.
But he didn't do his job. They didn't come close to a ring.
I mean, he did what he was told, I would think. I don't know for a fact, but I'm sure Gettleman had pressure to draft Barkley. And he did it. So I don't know if there's an allegiance there. But, you know, my allegiance and John's allegiance and anybody's allegiance should be, oh, what's the bottom line? You're 18-40. Sorry, not good enough. And that goes for the coaches, goes for the players. It's not good enough. You stand by this being this proud flagship franchise. That's what Bill Parcells always said. The Giants are one of the flagship franchises. Well, so far over the last decade, nothing. And we sit here and spend a lot of time in New York criticizing the Jets for being a circus, for going nowhere. Take a look at what the Jets have been at the same time. The Giants, they're the same team. And you don't take your Super Bowl rings onto the field. You go out there and you play ball. And neither of these franchises done anything. It's sickening that it's another week before Thanksgiving and the season's over. This is when it's supposed to start to heat up. This is supposed to be fun time, or at least one of the two teams are giving us a reason to watch. And this has been five straight seasons in which what's the only reason we're talking about football is because people love it so much. When does it just become irrelevant?
Who sent us the tweet earlier comparing this regime to the Reese regime? Were you guys on that, or did I see that on my own?
I did see it. I don't remember who sent it, though.
But, I mean, when you really think about it, this is like they got rid of Reese, who was leaps and bounds better than this.
And they got rid of Coughlin, who's better than any of the three coaches.
Who's leaps and bounds better than anyone else they've had.
Because they're chasing after, and even this year, they sunk this money in because for some reason they're under this delusion. And it's not fans, it's not media. We can get sucked in, it doesn't matter. But this ownership gets sucked into, we got a shot here. We've turned the corner, this is it, we're all in, let's spend a bunch of money. They did it in 16, it got them 11 wins, but got crushed in Green Bay. And then it was, let's throw more money at the problem. We'll get another couple of Super Bowls for Eli. And then, okay, we'll rebuild. And then the rebuild just began, let's sink a bunch of money into free agency in this defense and get a bunch of offensive players for Daniel. And it's going to end up being another losing season. Nothing seems to work.
Well,
what bothers me about one quick thing about the Garrett firing, look, the offense is awful. It reeks of a scapegoating to me. Let Joe Judge save his backside. Let everybody else save their backside. Patrick Graham, who was, you know, coach in waiting, but he decided to stay with the Giants and wouldn't even interview with the Jets. Let's make Garrett the face of the failure. And I think it's unfair. I don't think he did a good job, but I think it's unfair that you just point to him. Because with that offensive line, ain't nobody walking through that door that's going to have a great dynamic offense. But, no one.
You know who is? You know who is walking through the door?
Who?
I don't know.
Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens officially named, well, he will be, the play caller for the Giants. Finally, the Kiki has come back to play calling. And all the millions and millions of Kiki fans worldwide can celebrate. It's a very happy Thanksgiving in the Kitchen household. That's right.
And you better believe. Kitchen.
You better believe I was about to say that, Michael. You won't believe what Mrs. Kiki is doing in the Kiki. Mrs. Kiki is in the Kiki firing things up. And let me tell you about how things are in the Kiki household on Thanksgiving. A lot of turkey, a lot of fried turkey, a lot of fried chicken, a lot of fried goose, a lot of turducken. I put a turkey inside my turducken, and I call it turkey ducky turkey ducking. That's how much I do in the kitchen. But this year's different, because I'm back to play calling, baby. I'm going to fire it up. And a lot of people have been asking me, they said, Freddie, what kind of plays can we expect with you in this new innovative offense? Hold on, let me have a drink, because it hurts my voice to do these press conferences here. And I say, I have a few plays, and I think Dom LaGreco will be appreciative of some of them plays. First of all, my first play, I call up an A. And it's a sweep, HB sweep to the right. Then I have another play. It's called up and B. It's an HB toss left. Then I have down and A. It's a pass to the right side. And finally my last, it's left and B. It's a pass to the left side. And I made up those plays. 1,000%. I did not get them from playing Tecmo Bowl as a kid. Those are called the Keying Playbook. All right? Turkey, ducky, turkey, ducky. The only thing you have to watch out for is if accidentally the other team calls your play, you can't get any yardage. My dad used to tell me one thing, Dom. Every Thanksgiving.
That's Dom.
Every Thanksgiving, he would say, Freddie, come on down and wear something nice for dinner because your mom cooked a goose. And I'd say, why are we having goose on Thanksgiving, Daddy? Because all my friends say they have a turkey. And my daddy would say, well, son, your friends having turkey?
Boy, this sounds
really
like Peter
just...
now.
Excuse me?
This sounded like Peter.
No, I don't think so. I think it's Keith. Anyways, to finish up this story, my father would say, son, you know who has turkey? Those friends you have that are such good friends that have, they show off about their fancy turkey, they're all sheep. And I would go, the sheep are eating turkey? This is very confusing. And my daddy would go, son, you're so dumb. I'm okay. I'm okay. Okay.
Did you, Don, did you see Dez Bryant's tweet?
No.
Oh, wow.
What did he say?
After hearing the news about Jason Garrett, hey, Kadarius Toney, you will get to experience the love and joy for football throughout your career.
Wait. Oh, he buried him that bad?
Buried him.
Jason Garrett, by the way, did release a statement.
Yes, it was very long.
Yeah, I can't read the whole thing because it's endless. It's funny because Jordan Ronan tweeted it, but I from how long it was, I thought he wrote it.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. I'm just kidding, Jordan, my fellow Terp.
No, you really meant
brother.
That. You're really mean-spirited today, right? On
Thanksgiving
week.
Kidding on the square.
He said he's well, listen, we call him Jordan Ronan. He knows that. But he obviously said he was disappointed. And how could he not be? Mike Tannenbaum was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max earlier, and he said maybe it's time for the Giants to move on from Daniel Jones altogether.
Baker Mayfield goes into Foxborough, massive AFC game, no Kareem Hunt, no Nick Chubb, and they were terrible. And like that told us everything, kind of felt that way for a while about Baker, where I had concerns. And last night is a great example of like Daniel Jones, like go stand toe-to-toe with Tom Brady, Monday Night Football. You don't even have to win, but give your organization the confidence that every week you're giving us a legitimate chance to win. And clearly, leaving that stadium last night, if the Giants are being honest and sober, they're having massive questions about Daniel Jones because the mistakes he's making are not getting better.
Don. Answer quick.
Pivot.
Answer quick, Don. You need a quarterback for one game. You only have two options, Daniel Jones or Taylor Heinicke. What are you doing?
Heinicke.
Now, see, this is a guy who was undrafted and out of the league. That's not good.
No, but here's the thing, because the stats will show that out. I mean, I saw him almost win a playoff game. But is that just because they're – Washington football team, they're better coach. Ron Rivera's a good coach. I mean, he's Riverboat Ron, and that's not to my liking, but he's a much better coach. They're well coached, and you can't ignore the fact that the offensive coordinator just got fired. Scapegoat or not, the stats don't lie. They're 26th in points this year. They were 31st in points last year. So everybody's got a hand in it being that bad, but he just fired his coach. So he's got 7 games to see what he can do here with a different play caller. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But I saw Daniel Jones. I saw some flashes when he was playing in his rookie year with a different head coach and a different offensive coordinator.
But here's what I don't understand about Mike Tannenbaum. He's super, super high on the Giants. So he had to be high on Daniel Jones. So after week 10, he's given up on him? I mean, there's another cut that we played earlier. He said, go out and get Ryan Fitzpatrick next year.
All this will be addressed at 5:30 on Friday.
Ah, when you're doing the special 100% show.
Yeah. Here's the Ian O'Connor tweet that Peter was talking about. Gettleman, 18-40, 4 years with the Giants, no trips to the playoffs. Meanwhile, the last 4 years of Jerry Reese, 25-35. He was fired after 12 games in 17. So think about that, Michael. They did let go of the general manager at pretty much the same time they let go of the offensive coordinator. Now, I don't know what good that does, but you know, it's not unprecedented to let the GM go. So they chose the offensive coordinator. So right now the Giants are choosing that their general manager has given this coaching staff the talent. And at least the offensive coach has failed that talent. So we'll see what Freddie does. 7 games is a pretty good sample, guys. I don't think they're going anywhere.
It's a good point.
But, you know, seven games, now we'll get a chance to see what Jones and Barkley and all these guys can do. Maybe they're not going to win, but, you know, can you score 30 points for the first time in a couple of years? Can you get out of the basement offensively?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to say this too loud, but Freddie Key isn't exactly confused with, you know, the greatest show on turf. Key. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and, you know, the other thing, to your point, Peter, at least they have not officially said that he is going to call the plays. Now, he did last year when Garrett was in COVID protocol for a week, but it sounds like it's going to be collaborative. So it's not like they're all in on Freddie. Like, Freddie will be the OC because they need someone. But it sounded to me, right, Michael, that at least they admitted that it could be a variety of people, that it's not completely committed to Freddie making the play call.
It worries me because it looks like Judge is going to be involved. Judge's experience with the offense is essentially 1 year, I think, as a wide receiver coach with the Patriots. 1 year. I don't want him calling plays either.
But in a way, I kind of want to in the sense, Michael, that he fired him. If Judge made this call and Judge takes over the play calling, then isn't it fair to then judge, no pun intended, these final 7 games?
But
if the offense doesn't get any better?
You're judging him on what? He's not good at this. This is not his area of expertise. If he took over the special teams, okay, I could get it. You want my advice? I mean, I can take over. Looks like they don't want me on the show anymore. Here's what you do. Run a hurry-up offense all the time. That's when Daniel Jones looks the best. Don't huddle. Get him to play quickly. Let him get to the line. Don't let them switch their defense. Don't let them bring in new defensive players. Don't let them set up. Just run a quick offense where they don't huddle and just go for it. He's best. Don, we've seen him. That's when he's at his best. He can improvise. He can use his legs. That's my little gift to Freddie Kitchens.
Well, we'll see. But what do we always say when somebody says, fire that guy? Well, who are you going to replace him with? So they fired Jason Garrett, I guess, with the assumption that whatever they were going to do was going to be better. Who are you taking out? And if it's not better, then doesn't that fall on the guy that fired him? If indeed he did fire him?
I believe it's a scapegoating situation. He's going to ultimately be judged over the last 7 games. He probably looks at the schedule, goes, we have a chance to win some of these games. I want to see them beat the Eagles now. I want to see them beat Washington. I want to see it.
I mean, we'll see. Zach Wilson will be starting Sunday for the Jets.
Nice.
That's right, against Houston.
The future is now.
Now, there will be no Joe Flacco or Mike White. They're both on the COVID list. But that, according to Rich Cimini, that has nothing to do with the decision to start Wilson.
Well, what are they supposed to say?
I mean, but I think he was going to start this week, no? I mean, what are we at, 5 weeks now?
Didn't Josh Johnson do enough against Indianapolis where you wouldn't be embarrassing yourself naming him the starter if Wilson wasn't ready?
Well, I think that there's a chance Wilson wouldn't have started even if he was ready. That's my point. Yeah, I think Wilson's right. I think Wilson was ready last week. So, of course, you're going to start him over Josh Johnson, but would you have started him over Joe Flacco? I'm not sure you would have. We'll never know.
Well, guys, how about this? We've done all Giants and Jets. How about on the other side, we do some other news from around the world, shall we?
Fine with me. Why don't you close out the sponsor like a professional?
All right, I'll do that then. This portion of ENN brought to you by DoorDash. Save money on convenience, grocery, and more when you sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash. With zero delivery fees, you're free to get all your faves whenever you want. Sign up for Dash Pass and try it free for 30 days. More ENN on the other side, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Before we go back to Peter for the second part of ENN, Don, I'm going to surprise you right now.
What's that?
There are three hockey teams that do not have an alternate jersey. The Kraken, they just started.
Right.
The Red Wings. And the Devils. But the Devils just revealed their ultimate jersey. Or the alternate jersey. And I got to tell you, I love it. I love it. And if they send me one, I will wear it on an entire show.
It's sharp looking.
It is sharp.
You know, and it's black. I don't get the love affair with black, but at least they do have black in the jersey.
And red.
And
white.
Apparently Martin Brodeur had something to do with the designing of this. But here's the problem, and this is the sense of humor of sports fans. So, and the Devils actually embraced it in one of their tweets. Are they going to sell a hat that says hat?
And pants that say pants.
Because, Peter, the jersey, it says jersey.
Script. It's really cool.
So it's just a coincidence, but you get, like, the whole jersey, because most people refer to, you know, New Jersey as jersey, but it's a jersey.
Now, I got to ask you something as a Jerseyite, Don.
Yes.
A Jerseyan. So I used to cover the then New Jersey Nets with Fred Kerber. You know Fred.
Sure.
And I once referred to New Jersey as Jersey. And he's a Jersey guy. He goes, no. He said, do I say you're from York? He goes, it's New Jersey. It's not Jersey. As a New Jerseyan, do you have a problem when people say you're from Jersey?
Zero.
Do you have to have new there?
Zero. I've never heard of such a thing.
I don't know why. Fred got really angry. I couldn't believe it.
Why? Is it one of those things where only people in Jersey can refer to it as Jersey?
I don't know. I didn't think it was pejorative at all.
When I say I'm going down the shore, I say I'm going to the Jersey Shore, right? I'm not going to the New Jersey Shore. Jersey is something that just I find it to be acceptable. I've been here my whole life. I never had a problem with anybody referring to it as that.
Well, let's go back to Peter for the next part of ENN.
Sure.
First of all, why did someone yell at me on Twitter?
Whoa.
Rosenberg Radio, why did you stop watching King Richard at the 45-minute mark? And you're going to finish the rest later? Shameful. That makes no sense.
He explained why.
But I had to watch the game.
Shouldn't have started it then.
Okay. These people scream at me. If I tweet anything about like wrestling during a football game, they yell at me. Why aren't you watching wrestling? If I say I stopped the movie to watch the Giants game, I get yelled at for stopping the movie.
I'm going to tell you something that I do that drives Nancy crazy, and you guys won't get it, but I have to.
I might get it, Don. Go ahead.
I'm not bright enough.
I don't have a lot of time with the Twins and with the games I'm doing and all that. There was a movie that Michael recommended that I wanted to watch.
Okay.
Okay?
Adult film?
It was Promising Young Woman, which I highly recommend. I thought it was a terrific movie. I still want to see that.
Yeah?
Well, it happened to be on HBO or one of the premium channels, and it's like 50 minutes into the movie. I watched the last hour, and then another time, then I DVR'd it and watched
awful.
The beginning.
It sounds
awful, but I got caught up in the story for a couple of minutes. I'm like, listen, I've got the time to finish it. I'll go back. And then eventually, over time, I pieced it all together. It's not ideal, Michael, but I'm glad I did it. Otherwise, I still would not have watched it.
But you could not have really enjoyed the twist at the end of the movie unless you knew exactly what happened at the beginning.
But here's the thing. It became like I wanted to investigate. Like I wanted to find out why that all made sense. Listen,
so
it's not ideal. I get it. It's not ideal. But I was eventually able to piece everything together. I loved it. And it's better than not having seen it. Now, I don't know if you'd ever do that, Peter, but...
I would, and I have, and I understand, and it's not ideal to go in that order, but, like, it happens, and you found yourself there. Yes, I get it. If you were interviewing the director the next day, that wouldn't be the ideal way to take in their art. But you're not, Don. So however it works for you, it works. And I often watch movies in three sittings just because of schedule, and people act like you can't follow from one thing to the next. Meanwhile, half these people are looking at their phone the whole time they watch a movie anyway.
I really enjoyed that movie. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's that good, huh?
It's so dark. It's not dark humor like The Cable Guy, because it's more serious than that, and it's got a more serious message, but it's that level of like really like dark humor.
It's extremely well done. She should win an award for that.
Wait,
it was
comedic?
Up for Best Picture.
I don't think it's comedic. I don't think it's comedic.
Oh, there's humor in there, though.
But you also don't think, Michael, that The Shrink Next Door is comedic at all either.
I didn't laugh in two episodes yet.
Did you see Will Ferrell, though, doing an entire Haftorah portion at a bar mitzvah?
Yes.
That's funny.
Hey, Michael and I disagree about the current curve. I thought that was one of the funniest episodes of the season
haven't,
so far.
I have not seen it yet. Big episode of Succession this week, though. Big. Not as big as last week, in my opinion, but great. Hey, speaking of big things, Michael Strahan is going to space. It is being reported that he will, Michael Strahan, and his GMA co-host, the GMA co-host, not going with one, and Laura Shepherd Churchley, the eldest daughter of astronaut Alan Shepherd, will be on a December 9th flight aboard the New Shepard Blue Origin, the company headed by Jeff Bezos. And they're flying among these paying customers to space. Strahan in space.
I don't get it.
Why should I care? Now, I understood the William Shatner because there's the connection to Star Trek and all that. But, all right, so he's good for him.
Kitchens?
But why do I care?
Well, I mean, a guy that's a very famous public figure is going to this. My take was, Michael, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You got one of the great lives of all time. This is not without risk.
No, but I get it.
I did understand that also on the crew is a father and a son. Really? You really need to. You're not exactly going to Alpha Centauri, okay?
But
you're just piercing space and then coming back.
But that's why it's not really that dangerous.
So they
said. It's dangerous at takeoff.
You're going to the moon, that's something. I mean, just touching outer space, I mean, that's cool for them. I'm happy for them, but, you know.
I'm good.
Go to the moon. Let's get to Mars already. Then, horse in space!
Now, if they said wind horse, that's a conversation.
Oh, I'm in then. I'm in.
Can you imagine?
There's almost nothing more fascinating than space,
Wouldn't it be terrible luck, too, if, like, the second wind horse lands in space? He's like the second he gets there, the word starts spreading that LeBron James might be out in L.A. Wouldn't that be awful? And he can't do anything. I feel about going to space the way you feel about the Manning cast. I'm good.
Yeah, there's no pull for me. The one thing that I want to do that's really dangerous and I don't have the guts is ever since I was like a kid, I've wanted to skydive. I don't want to die that way.
Natalie has done it all. Hung from helicopters, jumped from planes.
And?
Today she did one. Today she did, what's that new thing in New York where you, like, get strapped in and stand off the edge of the building? You guys seen that?
Yeah, I saw it. What is that? What does that do for anybody?
She did it today. They asked her to do it. She went and did that today, too. She hung
off
the
edge of the
building.
Does she have any fear about anything? I mean, I worry about her, some of the pictures she takes. I mean, it's very dangerous.
Let me tell you something. She is a different kind of cat.
Well, and it's awesome that she does this. Now, the leaning thing I've seen, but with the one that I saw, your back is to the ground, and you're like you're looking up, like you're facing the building.
Brian Cashman did that at CN Tower in Toronto.
But shouldn't you go the other way where you're facing down? Wouldn't that be cooler?
I don't know.
I don't have the onions to do it.
She told me she was going to climb whatever it's called, this thing. I thought she meant she was like going up the stairs. I didn't know she meant she was going to be being strapped in and hanging off of something. Like, for me, that would be a huge deal.
I want a bungee jump. I would think that'd be fun. But
Jim Ramsdell just tweeted a great line. He said, Strahan could go to the space between his teeth.
That's...
You know what? It's not a bad line. It's not a bad line. Did you guys see what happened during Monday Night Raw last night?
No, how would I?
A little scary.
The NYPD have charged a 24-year-old man with attempted assault and attempted violation of arts and cultural affairs. Never heard of that. Following his attack on Seth Rollins on the ramp at the Barclays Center last night. If you didn't see it, Seth just had a match. He's walking back up the ramp. The camera's kind of cutting back and forth between the ring and the ramp. And I'm watching, and I see someone hit him. And the commentators start to almost announce it, and then they stop, and the camera cuts away. And I'm like, oh, God, someone jumped the ramp. I don't know how you felt, Michael. I was so thoroughly impressed with Seth. If you watch it again, Don, this guy runs at him full speed.
Yeah,
and
I did
not
see
a small, it. Not a small guy.
Like what Thunder Rosa did to Dave.
Yeah, he basically spears him. He runs at him as hard as he can, and Seth goes down. And by the time Seth hits the ground on his butt, he almost has the guy locked in a guillotine. Like, he really reacted well.
All right, so I wanted to ask you this when I saw the video. Seth Rollins, a bad guy character?
Yes.
Oh, so somebody was so angered by his role that he decided he'd take it into his own hands.
I guess.
What an idiot.
An absolute moron.
But this is almost to the level of, like, soap opera stars being attacked on the street for the role they play.
Yeah, and this does happen. Listen, there's, if you go on YouTube, there's definitely a history of people jumping the railing. It generally doesn't go well for anyone. This guy actually did okay, considering.
Well, Michael's got a theory on this.
Go ahead.
You think it should be all out. Like, Seth should have done whatever he wanted to.
Once you enter an area that you're not supposed to enter, it's like coming onto somebody's property. I think you can do whatever you want.
Oh, I think Seth would have gotten away with a lot, I'm sure. I mean,
no, even if he snapped his neck off and threw, like, garbage cans down his throat. I mean, you should be able to do that. The guy attacked him. You should be able to do what you want to do.
Well, let's be clear. I think he could have. I think he would have been fine if he had. But just to be clear, this is not the same. You know, you guys have heard me say, and Don, you were on board with me, when guys streak at Giant Stadium and it looks like the security is going to kill them, sometimes I think it's a bit far. But this wasn't just streaking. He physically attacked him.
Yeah, he attacked him.
So good for Seth. Now, a couple things on the Mets before we get up out of here. The Mets are involved in the Javi Baez sweepstakes. They are supposedly among the teams still trying to retain the services of Baez. And it's supposedly several teams are involved, and it could be resolved before the expected lockout. We shall see. But
I don't know how I feel about it.
Baez or the Mets have made any secret about this. Everyone knows it's possible. I'm like, do people really want Baez back?
He was very good with the Mets, but I mean, I don't know. Anyway, you're up against it. You got to break soon.
No, we're gonna break now. Last thing, Juris Familia supposedly getting some interest from the Boston Red Sox.
Enjoy.
And on this day back in 2014, I know Yankees fans are absolutely ready for that. On this day back in 2014. Don, Michael.
Play action. And Manning's going to heave one. There's a flag. Beckham, a one-handed catch. How in the world?
Oh, my goodness. This is sick. Put this to music. I don't think he stepped out either. That may be the greatest catch I've ever seen.
Number 39. Penalty, result of the play. Touchdown.
Have to be kidding me. That is impossible. That is absolutely impossible what he just did.
Odell Beckham Jr.'s famous one-handed catch against the Cowboys.
Probably the worst thing to ever happen to the Giants.
And to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday, November 23rd.
All right, we'll come back. We'll finish it up with phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.